I wish I could say I was still keeping the PowerPoint up to date, but I am not because we've had many distractions, so that's okay. I hope that you've taken the book and just have read through it. We'll continue to read through it. It's not really a book you read once. It's a book you kind of look back and forth at and think about. And I think that should be something implied. I hope we get a little bit of maybe downtime tomorrow. I'm sure plumbers won't. But we're going to talk more about the principle of expediency in tonight's class. I know we've kind of gotten all over the place, but that's okay. I think we've talked about good things and have exercised some good principles and application. But again, biblical expediency is chapter 6 in the book, and that's where I'll be primarily taking some of my thoughts tonight. I hope it snows. I doubt it will, but personally, I'm staying home tomorrow. I'm going to stay home and hopefully sit close to the fireplace and the computer.
I'll get out. I'll be drinking my
juice. Okay, yeah. Call me. I'll delegate. I'll find. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin our study. Our Holy God and Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to assemble midweek to be edified by thy word, principles of eternal life. Pray that we are always honest stewards. We are humble. We recognize our frailties by the mirror of thy word, that we then make the adequate and adaptable choices that would continue to mold ourselves in the image of Christ, and so that as we wear the name Christian, we would truly represent. Pray that you'll bless each and every one of us here at 9th and Main. We pray that you'll bless our visitors. We pray that we will always be known as a hospitable, friendly family, warm place, but most importantly, a sound environment where the truth is loved and honored. We're grateful for the love of God. Recognize that without knowing about the sacrifice of Christ, the story, the truth of redemption, that we could not even truly understand what love really is. Grateful then that we can live a joyful life, a life full of hope and a life full of mercy. We can know that thou art a true and perfect just God, and we pray that you'll bless us. Pray that our study tonight is very fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I know that we've kind of flirted with the topic of expediency. Anybody have an idea of, just to reintroduce the thought, what the word expediency means?
I interpret it as like expedited, it's quicker, it's...
Yeah. Sure, yeah, you can hear the root word expedite, or the kind of the idea of action in the word. It's interesting in the chapter, it actually talks about two different matters when it comes to this concept of expediency. Some people look at expediency in the means of efficiency rather than effectiveness. And I thought that was an interesting point on page 126. And I don't know that I'd ever really thought about that, maybe so direct. I've probably thought about it in practical application. Is this idea really efficient or is it effective? So we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Anybody else on the idea of what expediency looks like? Why don't you look at a passage of scripture with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for just a moment. I examined this passage earlier. It's not really brought out in this chapter as much. But I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where several translations, verse 12 is the verse. King James Bible translates and uses the English word expedient. The New King James Version will use the word profitable, I think. Is that right? Helpful. That's right. Helpful. All right. So I've looked that word up and considered the way it's used, but I'll read it in the King James Bible and look at it as it's recorded in your translation. Hopefully you have a King James, New King James. The Apostle Paul says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power or control of any." Once again, I would give you some examples of this word as it's translated, expedient. The definition here is to bear or bring together, to bear together or at the same time, to carry with others, to collect or contribute in order to help, be profitable, be expedient. So I would say that those ideas are interesting. And again, it's a concept found in the Scriptures. I looked up the application in various passages. It's used 17 times in the New Testament. And in Matthew 5, 29 and 30, I think that these two verses, the first two occurrences in the Greek New Testament, you might want to look at these two passages, Matthew 5, 29 and 30, and notice how the idea is used. Jesus says in verse 29, Matthew 5, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable or expedient for you that one of your members perish then your whole body be cast into hell." Now that's an interesting passage in regard to the subject matter that we're studying, how to study the Bible or how to understand the Bible, how to reason through the Bible. What kind of language is the Lord Jesus Christ employing here if we're going to use biblical interpretation? Okay? If we were to take this literal, we might be looking at quite a few maimed people around here. I might have to ask you, why haven't you plucked your eyes out? Literally. So I would ask you to consider again the nature of language. Because once again, if this passage is a passage of authority, would we not say all of God's word is authoritative? Would we say that generally? All of the Bible, yeah. But we're talking about how to apply these words. Again, if this passage is a linear passage, one that is absolutely correct, every time you've lusted or sinned with your eyes, why haven't you plucked your eyes out? Okay, a profitable, beneficial, helpful. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Well, that's a great point, Anna, because I would argue then that the action of repentance, generally speaking, would fix this Matthew 5, 29 passage. If you're lusting or sinning with your eyes, which is that a possibility? Sure it is. First John 2 talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those three avenues are the avenues which, again, are we allow temptation to enter into our minds, our soul, so to speak, where our volition is governed, which are our choices. Remember, our theme this whole year is how to make God's choice, right? And I could argue here that I know that this passage can't be taken literal because the Lord, by authority, tells me I have the opportunity to repent. And what does repent mean? It means turn away, quit, stop it. So if you're doing something and your eyes are the reason, we have a passage, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, Jesus said, I tell you next, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5, and so on and so forth. And so we have the privilege. I like to tell people all the time, you know, repentance, though it may be hard, is a privilege. The Lord could have said, nope, and there will come a day. There will come a day of judgment when it's too late. There will be no repentance. This whole idea of the Roman Catholic rubbing rosary beads and praying for the opportunity for those in purgatory to turn and be converted, that's not biblical. You die in your sins, and you have not repented of your sins, you're lost in your sins, and your fate is sealed. So, yeah, Cortland. I like to parallel Romans 3 where he talks about spiritual circumcision. The circumcision of the heart. Well, that's again, literally, can you circumcise your heart? You sure? You can't do it literally. I'm talking about the scalpel and going to see your doctor. It's not, yeah. Well, I guess if you had a heart valve issue, you might need a literal, you know. But that's not what the Lord's talking about, right? Okay, Romans 3:29, I believe, 3:27, 28, 29. Yeah.
So we know that we understand also from that he's not talking literally. He's making the point that even if it's something that's a big part of your life, you have to get rid of it. It's going to And it doesn't mention the left eye. So that's kind of another case of this.
So let's just analyze it and put the theory to practice here. The word profitable, helpful, or expedient here. In regard to the statement in the book, we look at things in efficiency or effectiveness. Let's talk about what is then profitable. What would be profitable if you really struggle with an eye problem that's causing you to sin? And we're not going to literally pluck it out, but what do we need to do? What is profitable here? What would be profitable? Okay.
Hang with the right.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil companionship corrupts good manners. So we have lots of tools, you see. But you see how all of that goes back to the heart, the volition, the seat of emotion, the conscientiousness, the awareness, the understanding of mankind, who we are, to then do what's expedient, do what's profitable. Herein the principle is tremendous freedom. We always look at this as a restriction. Oh man, I can't look and lust at a woman. Rats. I had a neighbor who used to tell me, who was a member of a denomination, and I was young, I wasn't married at the time, but I always thought his wife was a pretty good looking lady, you know, particularly personally, and he used to always talk about and whistle at other women as they'd drive by, and he'd look over at me as a young boy and he'd say, I can look but I can't touch. As I got older, I realized that's probably not the best philosophy. I wonder if those two are even still married with that attitude. I remember him saying that. You can look but you can't touch. That gets you in trouble. Yes, sir, Zach.
Jesus says that if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, it's not that you've committed adultery in your eyes, it's that you've committed it in your heart.
Yeah.
And so it's a heart problem. You know, if someone were to cut off their right hand, right foot, right eye, they would just be a sinner with one hand, one foot, and one eye.
That's right. It is a heart problem, and I love the Romans 6:17 passage. Romans 6:17 passage, when you couple this idea, Paul says obedience comes from where? True obedience. Beneficial obedience. Profitable obedience. You have obeyed from the heart. And what's interesting to me in that very book, talking about the circumcision of the heart, Romans 3. You're again paralleling and looking at all these principles in the Bible and making it all again harmonized as they do. You get over to Romans 10:17. How does obedience from the heart get into your heart? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... And so here's another idea. Hearing incorporates the idea of getting to my heart, which then creates faith, understanding, which then motivates me, affects my conscientiousness, helps me understand that I can then confess. I can speak. The word confession is used in Romans 10 as well. That's a wonderful word because it comes from the Greek word homologeo. And I love to talk about confession biblically because I've said this and I'll say it again. You ever been somewhere and you're a new person, just getting to talk to them, and you can tell they're a religious person or they're a Bible person because they're speaking the same way you speak, but you never met them before. They're thinking the same way you think. And you're like, wow, we got a lot in common here. And then you might ask a question, say, where do you go to church? And how many times have you done that and someone said, well, I go to the Church of Christ. And you think, well, they've been hearing the same Bible I've been hearing. And again, properly, rightly divided scriptures, and that's homologeo. That's confession. Homo, same, logeo, word. We're saying the same word. It's a byproduct of our faith. It's a byproduct of our motives. And thus, it produces unity. That's profitable. That's expedient. And ultimately, what we're talking about is biblical expediency. So here's the kind of definition. I like the way he says this. One must first determine whether or not an action is authorized before he can decide whether or not the action or an action is expedient. Yes. One must first determine or know that an action is authorized before he can decide whether or not the action is expedient. And you're going to measure the action too. But you're first going to define and say, I think this is authorized. I've got authority to do this. So here's the command. We all know this one. Mark 16:15. What does Mark 16:15 say? Here's your authority and here's an action item. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. Mark 16:15. I'll give everybody just a second. You'll see it. Some of you have already gone, oh yeah, I know what that says. Mark 16:16. Mark 16:15. What does Jesus say there before he ascends back to the right hand of the throne of glory? Someone want to read that? All right, so let me ask you something. Is preaching the gospel authorized, Victor? Commanded. It's commanded. See, there's a little bit more force on this one, isn't there? So it's not even optional. And in this passage, Jesus says to go. But let me ask you, here's your expediency. Let's talk about it. How do we expedite going? I got it. We're going to do everything just the way the Bible says, right? We want to do what the Bible says. So how did the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Thaddeus, how did they go? What shoes did they wear? What clothing did they wear? Did they ride a camel? I don't know. Were camels back then? I think so. So the command here to expedite is to go. So I'm going to do things in the way the Bible says. So I need to go back and find me a toga too. I'm going to wear one of those probably kind of robey things they wore like in the Roman days. Because you got to fit the culture. Is that the nature of the command here to expedite? I was teasing Danielle about this winter day they're getting. I mean, you got a little bit of, you know, potentials. And Christoval's already shut down for half a day or something. I said, why? We got a buggy we could hook up. It's four-wheel drive. It'll float across that ice just fine. You can go to school. Is school, going to school, authorized? According to me, it is. You don't have a choice. We can saddle up a horse. Can she go by horse? Does she want to go by horse? Or does she want to get up on a morning like this week with her dad going out and starting her truck up 15 minutes early so it's warm for her? She's making a choice, you see. The nature of the command, though, in the 21st century, how are we going to go? Yes, sir. Right. So I don't have to go back and put on a toga, and I don't have to get a camel. So was it expedient, profitable for us to be here tonight?
Yes.
So studying the Bible, assembling with the saints is a good thing. We want to expedite that opportunity, and we appreciate you being here. But remember a few weeks back or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about speed limit law, civil authorities, and so forth, the difference between civil law and God's law. And I was asking a question about speed limit laws. And in an emergency situation, you know, maybe a lady, you got a baby on the way and you got to get somewhere. You're probably going to slap the hazard lights on and try to drive as fast as you can. And you might break the speed limit laws. Is that right? I mean, your water's broke. Let's just be real. We're adults here. Probably going to get there pretty quick. Never made it out the front door. We had all three of our babies at home, so we had a midwife come. I didn't have to go anywhere. So, but anyway, but coming to Bible, pardon, who's talking? Oh, yeah. You still might get pulled over, though. I mean, but what about coming to Bible class on a Wednesday night off the loop? You're supposed to be here at 7 o'clock. Now, my cruise control was set about 70, so what was I breaking the law? Well, guess who passed me tonight on the way to Bible class? Lindsay Shirtle. And guess what? Now, I got a choice here. I'm trying to determine what motives here. She must have been in a really quick hurry. She wanted to get to Bible class. So, how do I judge her? See, I mean, that's even better. The motive's getting better and better. She's putting priority, Bible study, husband, you know, hey, I ain't worried about San Angelo PD. I'm getting to Bible class. That's the way I'm judging that, Lindsay. No, I wasn't doing 70, and I don't know what she was doing. I didn't even know you passed me. So I was probably doing slow today. But anyway, again, we're not talking about speed limit laws. We're not talking about that. We're talking about going and preaching the gospel and the law of expediency or biblical expediency. How are we going to expedite this? Now, I like the way he points this out in preaching the gospel. We can go personally. And nowadays, people send CDs, DVDs, correspondence. Do we use correspondence? We have social media. How many of you think social media is a really good way of expediting preaching the gospel? How many of you think that that's a really good idea? You do? Do what?
Okay. I think it can be, but it also requires the person to be on a platform where there are other temptations and other negative things.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to challenge you just because I want to be honoring. I disagree. I think social media is one of the poorest ways. I think it's one of the most impersonal. That's my feeling. Now, here's the point on expediency. Now, what are we arguing over? Are we arguing over the authority, the actual command, or what are we arguing over? How to do it. So at the end of the day, if you have a social media page and you want to do that, guess what? You've got authority to do it. And as long as you're preaching the truth and what you put out there is okay, I'm good with it. But, pardon?
We used to upload all our sermons on Facebook.
Did you convert a lot of people by it? Did you see a lot of baptisms? Did Meridian grow exponentially? Okay, so I'm arguing with you then and your dad, and I'm saying effectiveness. Is it effective? Do I have a right to argue with you over that? I do. I don't have a right to be mean or, you know, bully you and force you. That's where expediency gets a little confused. But I have a right to argue about that. Talk about it. We ought to do it civilly. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah.
Every aspect, facet, or avenue of your life, you ought to live, breathe, and walk according to the gospel. No matter what you do. I don't care if you're at a gas station, I don't care if you're shopping, I don't care if you're walking to Walmart, I don't care if you're in a jail cell. Our goings must be about our Father.
Yeah. And we ought to be able to judge their fruits, judge your fruits, and say, that person's a good boy. He's a good man. You know, Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And those fruits are definable by what now? By God's authority. Yeah, action. That's right. But they're authorized actions. So we ought to be able to see that. So I don't get into a big battle over social media. But I will tell you this. When it comes to preaching the gospel, I have to do one thing for sure. I have to use words. I can't just sit here and, well, I'm just going to play it out and do some drama for you and maybe some ballet and say, hey, what'd you think about that? Did you get the point? Preaching the gospel implies now certain things, and now we're talking about implication back to what the previous chapter was. It means you've got to use words, and the words you use are not my words, but whose words? God's words, the good news, the gospel, what actually saves. The actual words that give you the triggers to do something. The authority.
First of all, if you do ballet, we're going to watch you fall over.
I guarantee you.
Having said that, we have a radio station.
Right.
That is an expedient. Now, we know that we had results on that.
Yep.
Some people can see the social media thing as being a very positive thing. Can you always count the number of baptisms off of it? Maybe not.
Right, that's right.
Because the more people you have following you, the more people you probably don't even want to know.
That's right.
So there may be somebody out there who's obeyed the gospel simply because they can't read
it. You never knew that. So to your point, you put them out there. Was it a good idea to put the sermons out there? Sure. I say put them out everywhere if you can, but you can't really quantify it. That's okay. I'm going to go to Chad next, and then Leon. Yeah, that's... Law of expediency. Let me go to Leon next, right? You had your hand up.
The carrying out of God's command in these different avenues, if I can put it that way. Well, the reason that I'm here is because I had seen a link, and I was wanting to have a Bible study. And, well, it happened to be actual Bible study. And so, after some Bible study, so it can be effective. I would say maybe it's like a shotgun spray with that.
Okay.
You'll maybe hit one or two with it. Hey,
so
that's worth the money all right there.
Well, let me clarify, and Cortland, I'll get you next. I don't believe social media is ineffective. I was being honorary, remember? I do believe that we ought to use every tool that we have at our disposal to, in some means or form, broadcast, preach the gospel, and do that. Do that. Because you're right. I just want us to, again, understand when we're arguing over a lot of things, it's like the pew you're sitting on right now. Is that an expediency? It is. What about the color? That's just that's insignificant. Is it nice though that you have something to sit on?
Yeah.
Off the ground? I guarantee you, I have a hard time getting on the ground and getting up anymore. That's tough. No, I'm there now. Cortland. Now, I appreciate you bringing that up, Ashton. No. I think I know where you're... Yeah, no, and it's not even necessary for me to keep record, to measure effectiveness. We do that sometimes, and that's a good Bible study in and of itself, because David and others got in trouble on occasions when they got to numbering God's people, and it seems their motive was in question. So... I get often asked on a weekly basis, how many Bible studies, how many of this, how many baptisms, blah, 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 every week. And I'm like, I want to say it's none of your business. Though we had about 15 last year, I believe, maybe 17. I was having a hard time keeping up. Because who's the one keeping perfect count and the one that only matters? God Almighty. God. Yeah. No, and again, our Zach, I saw your hand. Let me say this. You know, the older I get and the more I've done in my life, the more I realize how I am still nothing. And it's God that has provided every benefit, gain, opportunity, client contact, opportunity. As hard as I push and as aggressive as I can be getting out there, beating the streets, meeting people, marketing, I always remember, you know what? I found that contact, or I did this because of so-and-so, or somebody else helped me do that. And I start doing the math, and I start realizing I haven't done anything in one sense. But I have. But it's always God that gets the glory, because He's the one that's provided everything. It's just for me to be smart enough to wake up and see these things, to make sure I give Him the glory. I'm just a vessel. So let's, okay, Zach, go ahead, brother.
I was just going to point out that of all the things that you could possibly do on social media, preaching the gospel is pretty high up there.
Sure.
And so it's just a matter of, we got to be careful sometimes to understand that the person on, that there's an actual person on the other side of the screen, and not get too carried away with just, you know, proving ourselves right, but actually understanding there's an actual person that we're trying to connect to.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, that I believe, and you can prove this in your own life, that there is a tremendous amount of effort, discipline, responsibility, if you're to wear the name Christian, that you adopt every principle and you learn every principle, every tool that God has given you in His Bible to mold yourself to be as bold, to become as confident as Christ is, to believe the truth unequivocally, and be able to talk to people one-on-one and represent very well. If you're wearing someone's name, and I am Christ, I had better represent that very well. And I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to check my bedside manner, to check my methods, my moods, my motives, everything, and say, am I doing this for the right reason? Yeah. I've been asking people here lately, preachers, why do you preach? Why are you preaching? What's your motive? Because you need to answer that question. What do you think? Why do you go? And there's your again, I have authority to go, but why am I going to do this? Does that matter? It matters very much. And I can guarantee you, if you get all that right, you start getting that better accounted for, I don't care if you preach on social media, whatever you do, you will be effective, and you'll glorify God. So I think that that's important. All right, I want to look at a passage here again. Royce mentioned it in 1 Corinthians 10. It's twice here used, the idea of expediency, and it's there in verse 23. And this is used in the book, in the first epistle of 1 Corinthians, when he talks about singing and other things in chapter 14. But notice in 1 Corinthians 10, 23, here at Corinth, all things are lawful here, but not all things are expedient or profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. So let me ask you a question. Boy, this is a good one right here. Man, this is a good one. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Look at a few context passages. Look at what he says here in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. To exercise this idea of expediency. The Apostle Paul says to those at Corinth, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So what's the liberty that was causing everybody to stumble? If you back up, he's talking about meats offered to idols. All right, and then you look at verse 7. You have some consciences, knowledge lacking with some individuals who didn't understand completely. Now just stop for a second. Look at what's being said. Look at chapter 9. In chapter 9, he talks about preaching the gospel. And he says, I will become all things to all men, that I might by some means save them that are lost. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 14 and following. He even says in verse 15, it were better for me to die than to over-glory here, or to cause a man to stumble. If you pay attention to his argument, he's trying to temper himself, Zach. That's what we're talking about here. And notice what he says in verse 17, how he says, if I do this thing willingly, the proper motive, I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, I'm in trouble. So what's my reward? Verse 18, he says, well, what my reward is this. When I preach the gospel, that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power or liberty in the gospel. Paul had liberty or authority to do a lot. All things are lawful. He could have exercised a lot of things. But here he himself, as an apostle, is trying to temper himself. He's trying to find the authority he has measured by the balance of expediency. What was edifying for those at Corinth? He talks about coming to them with a rod. He wanted to whoop them. I think if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, in one sense, this is my word, not his, but I think he's hot. I think he's astounded, because in chapter 5 he says, I can't believe you're glorying in this fornication with the young man that's sleeping with his father's wife. He said the Gentiles don't even do that. That's an idiom, by the way. That's just an idiom. He's making just a general comparison to the world. And so he's, this whole book's talking about expediency. So I'll make one final point on the meats argument. If meat, a steak, delicious ribeye steak, yum, 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 get you some, as that one dude says. And that yet ribeye steak or that cow overall was being offered to an idol, question, is it sinful to eat that steak? Well, it might depend. The steak, though, the meat is just what? Break it down scientifically. It's just protein. It's good protein, too. Beef is some power punch superfood stuff. And I'm all in. And someone says, I'm going to give you a bunch of free steaks, but by the way, they've been offering these things over here to a bunch of idols. Hope that doesn't bother you. I don't know. I might look around and say, all right, go ahead and give them to me. I'll go freeze them or something. I'll cook them later. It's just meat. Now, if I'm eating those things and someone says, oh my, you're offering idols. Am I being expedient? Do I have to eat the steak? No. See, that's an expediency. That's the liberty he's talking about. So why would I want to walk around and say, I don't care what you think? You know, sometimes we get that attitude in the church. I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, that attitude's not expedient. Okay, Roy, sorry. That's it. That's, man. How many of us act that way? How many Christians take that up? That's the idea. I'll become all things to all men that I might by means, some means save them. All right. Cortland, I think, is next, and then Leon.
Well, I had a brother in Christ one time. It was a New Year's Eve party. It was held at the church building, and you know, they get together and they hang out till midnight, what have you. There were some brothers, and they were playing Texas Hold'em. Putting up any stakes or anything.
Yeah.
They were sitting around playing cards. And this younger brother walked over and observed these older brothers and said, you guys are sinning. And one of the brothers said, you don't know what you're talking about. We're just sitting here having a game. We're not gambling. We're not putting on any stakes. And the older brother said, brothers, give me your cards. And he handed over their cards.
Oh, I got to quit.
And he quoted this passage. He said, this is the inspired attitude of love for our weakest brethren.
I'm good.
And he used that moment as an opportunity not to one of his weaker consciences. And he went aside and had a Bible study with him on New Year's Day. And he brought him to a more clear understanding. Yeah. But he could have, but look, this is a period of just pure immaturity. He didn't do that.
Great point, great illustrations. That's the practical point of the law of expediency. I'm going to let Leon say the last thing. I didn't realize what time it was. I'm out.
Read that out of King James Version, 1 Corinthians 9,
Does anybody have that open to the?
Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, least or lest I make my brother stumble.
Okay, here's the King. Yeah, there's a little bit of a nuance here. All right, 1 Corinthians 8:13. Here it is. Y'all ready? Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So, do you see the attitude? That's expediency. Please don't tell me I can't eat a steak, though. I might say it that way, Cortland. Please. I like five-card draw. I ain't throwing any steaks. It's just fun to play. But anyway, all right. Well, that's the law of expediency in a kind of a simple form. Leon will have the class Sunday morning, right? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your attention.